I'm the vine and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will wither. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Alleluia.
He is truly risen. Nansen, it was pretty cool. Did you realize that you didn't mention my name during your first reading? Okay. It's much more clear in Spanish. Normally I would do that. Bernabé, that's Barnabas in there. He's my patron saint. His feast day is coming up on the 11th of June. Remember that. That's my feast day. You should do something nice for me, like say a prayer or something. Saint Barnabas is there. You know, I've been a priest not that long, but in the amount of time that I have, I've done tons of funerals. We're preparing for Red's funeral on Monday. We just finished with another funeral a couple days ago, and even today I'm laying to rest Miss Apodaca, who we did her funeral last Tuesday in Albuquerque. I've done a lot of funerals, and one thing that I notice when you do a funeral is you can always tell those people in the family who are the ones who drove mom and dad to all their doctor's appointments. You can tell those family members and friends who made sure that they called regularly to check in. Those family members who visited more than just on holidays or special big occasions just a couple times a year. You can always tell those people who did those things from those who didn't. From those who just weren't around at those times. Those people who are the ones who are crying loudest and most effusively at the funeral are those who weren't connected in that way. The ones who were there all along, they're the ones who experience a deeper connection to the Mass, that are able to derive more from the mystery, that have a deeper sense of serenity within their souls throughout the whole of that grieving and difficult period. The ones who are weeping the most, what they're doing is those ones are weeping tears of that disconnectedness. They're weeping those tears of regret, tears of guilt, those tears of I wish I would've. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about in the gospel. In the gospel here, Jesus is using a metaphor for us. He's saying, I am the vine and y'all are the branches. Jesus is speaking about connectedness, about connection to persons, our need specifically to be connected to him. And the same thing that's true in our natural human relations here on earth within a family are the same with our supernatural heavenly connections to the one spiritual family that we have in Christ. It's the same exact thing. What connectedness does is it brings life. Connectedness brings life. And so, yes, in a family relationships, family's hard. It's challenging to stay within a family. You don't always have to like those who are in your family. You do gotta love them. But you don't always have to have a warm, fuzzy feeling that you're there with them. You do gotta pause to take photos from time to time, even if it's awkward. That's something that we do out of love, not something that we do out of like. But being connected as a family, what it does is it gives us an opportunity to really branch out in charity, to give that self-sacrifice, not to be focused on ourselves and our own emotional state, but to really do what we talked about last week. Remember with Jesus, that self-sacrificial love that each of us are called to, no matter what our vocation is, to bear fruit in our lives through Christ's own self-sacrifice. That's what he calls us to within our family relationships. It's those disconnectedness that, even though we may not realize it immediately, what it does is it slowly withers us. Whether that's with our family relationships being disconnected for a while, disconnects us from love, from that joy that we should have. And especially when it's related to supernatural, to God, he's the source of all life. And when we find ourselves disconnected from Christ, even for a short time, we begin to wither because we lose life. So when we're disconnected from life, when we're disconnected from meaning, which can only be found in Christ Jesus himself, even in those smallest ways, what it means that is that we begin to minimize our potential and maximize our regret. We begin to stunt our growth or retard it. We begin to become less and less of who we should be. Our life ends up being more unfulfilled. We live our lives more unhappy. But when we stay closely connected to Christ, when we stay closely connected to the vine because we are his branches, we actually begin to live life to the fullest. We realize the fullness of our human potential and dignity. One thing that I'm constantly saying to our young men and women, especially our confirmation students, you remember this. I remind you, you're made for greatness. Don't settle for anything else. Anything less is less than what you're destined for. You know, Pope Benedict XVI, great pope, he had this to say when he was talking about that. He said almost the exact same thing, except for he says it better than Father Burnaby. He said this. He said, man was made or created for greatness, for God himself. He was created to be fulfilled and to be filled by God. But his heart is too small for the greatness for which he is destined. And for that, he must be stretched. You see, that's our lives, brothers and sisters. We're made for some greatness. We're made for God himself to contain his very life within us. And every difficulty, every hardship, every struggle that we go through in this life, God allows us to do so that we can be stretched, so that we can fit within us the greatness that God wants to be lived out within us. And it takes stretching of our capacities so that we can contain what God is actually trying to accomplish within us. So when Nansen read for us that bit from St. Paul, what was he talking about? When St. Paul says to follow Jesus in the Spirit, what I'm reminded of is of a Japanese little story, a Japanese ancient story that goes like this. It's a man who went up and he decided he didn't want to build his house on the shoreline where everybody else was, but he wanted to go off and do something great. So he climbed up the mountain. With his own hands, began building a house. He cut down the timbers as he went up. And then he hauled them up laboriously up to the top of that mountain where he was going to put his house. Painstakingly, he began to plane each one of those boards so that it could be used in the construction of his house. He began to lay the floor. He began to erect the walls. He began to make sure that everything was just as it ought to be so the house would be built firm and steady. He especially made sure that the shingles were put up in the right way so the water would run off it and so the wind wouldn't come, which was wont to do, always rushing up that mountain, wouldn't tear his roof off, would be able to retard the wind and the rain. And after he finished all the construction of his house, making it a very beautiful house made by his own hands, he dug a garden, beautifully put it out in front of his house so that he could walk through each and every day through that garden in peace. Look out upon the beach that was down there below. Look out upon the sea that was there in the distance, especially at sunset when it was most peaceful. As he was doing this, you see, the people, when they looked up, they would always talk about his house as being the beautiful house, the hardworking man. They would praise him for these things, for he's constructed such a great thing with his own hands. But one day when he was walking through his garden in the evening, what happened is that he looked out upon the sea, looked out upon the shore, and he saw everything that was there. But on the distance, he could see a huge tsunami hurtling toward their island. He could see there a great tidal wave that was rushing on. And immediately his gaze was directed down to the people who were there before, doing what they always do. They were playing, cavorting on the beach, having a good time, oblivious to the destruction that lay at hand. So he cupped his hands to his mouth and began to scream to them. He began to shout. He began to try to alert them in his way. But even upon his mountain perch, the voice couldn't travel down. It was too weak. They didn't hear anything. And so he began to think about, what is the way that I could do to help these people down there? I can't run fast enough to rescue them. He did the only thing they knew that would get their attention. He reached into his fireplace, took a brand that was there burning as he was preparing to create his own meal for the day, and lit his house on fire. Lit the beautiful house on fire that he had made by his own hands. Not long after that, people recognized that his house was on fire. They could see the huge billowing smoke that was burning up. And the people began to say, the man with the beautiful house is in trouble. Maybe we can go up there and rescue him and save him. Maybe we can save his house from being destroyed. And so out of their own day, they sacrificed everything and began to run up the hill to see what they could do to help him out. There were other people who said, well, look at all those people. They're going up. That's plenty of people to be able to go and rescue him. The bomberos, the firefighters are going to be able to go up there and rush up. We'll just continue on with our day, having our time down here on the beach. And when the people finally got up to him exhausted, the man turned their gaze to the sea. Shortly after that, the tidal wave, the tsunami, crashed up against the shores. Those people who self-sacrificed themselves, who gave themselves up, who weren't thinking of themselves but thinking of the man and his beautiful house, those are the ones who were saved. And everybody else down on the shores, stuck in themselves, they perished. Every last one of them. The story of our faith is the same. The story of our Christian faith is exactly the same. It's the very core of self-gift, of self-sacrifice, of not looking at ourselves, but looking toward the needs of others and giving that up. As we look upon the cross, so we just meditate upon that for a great period of time through the season of Lent, through Holy Week. Jesus, every time we look upon the cross, we see what self-sacrifice, self-gift is. Jesus came, what? God descended to become man. Destroying everything in his life, but taking on flesh. He gave up everything, passion, death, all so that he could save us. So that we wouldn't have to be alone or powerless. But Jesus still does that. In fact, he still gives us an opportunity to be with us, to save us here within the Mass. He gives himself to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, his flesh for us to eat, his blood for us to drink. Our young men and women who just experienced their first Holy Communion, y'all experienced that for the first time, the taste of salvation. But when we come to Mass, it's not about us just hearing some awesome things from the Word of God. It's not just about us receiving things from the altar, his blood, his flesh. It's not about us receiving. When we come to Mass each and every time, it demands something of us, doesn't it? It demands self-sacrifice. What do we sacrifice? We sacrifice our time, because right now a lot of you could be eating, having a good meal around the table. You could be sleeping in and getting some extra rest or doing anything else, right? It takes a sacrifice of your effort, because as I'm looking out at all of you, most of you didn't just roll out of bed in your pajamas and get here. You got dressed a little bit. It took effort to prepare yourselves to be ready for Mass. Also, it took a sacrifice of your own finances, of your money. Because we know that to be able to have Mass, to be able to take care of our church, we put something within that collection basket so that God's work may be continued here in Santa Rosa and beyond. It takes sacrifice on our side to be able to do this, to be able to be attend here. We're not just receiving, but we're giving something. But guess what? When we give to God, when we sacrifice something and put things within God's hands, we can't outgive him. Because just as those people, remember, they were running, charging up that mountain, saying, hey, we got to do something for the man. In doing that, they themselves are saved. So too, when we give these little small things to God, coming to Mass on Sundays, it's actually we are who's saved, not God. His greatness isn't added anything to by us coming to Mass, but it's rather we who get everything, far more than we could ever ask for or imagine, just in being present at Mass. Right now, we're thinking about summer, right? We're getting ready to begin. School's almost over. We're getting ready and we're thinking, what are we going to do with our time? Where are we going to go? The precious bit of time that we're able to scrape away and to be able to pull away, what are we going to do with that? You know, there's a difficulty, though, that I experienced even when I was young. My family wasn't perfect. What often happens, and it's a sad thing, is that so many people become disconnected during the summer. Disconnected from what's most important. They take a vacation, but they also take a vacation from Mass, a vacation from God, a vacation from doing what's right. And in doing so, as a branch, they begin to wither. The truth is, though, brothers and sisters, that unless you're going to be vacationing in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, no matter where it is that you go, there's going to be a Mass close by. What do we call our church? We're the Catholic Church, right? Do you know what the word Catholic means? Huh? Universal. The word Catholic means universal, which means the Catholic Church is everywhere. The Catholic Church is everywhere you want to be, everywhere that you go. There's going to be a Catholic Mass there, whether it's you're vacationing out on a beach town, whether you're going out to some desert bluff, whether you're going to some lake shores that are going there or high up in the mountains. There's a church there. Because the Catholic Church is everywhere. So I'm going to ask you to do something that we never ask you to do at Mass. Right now, I want you to take out your cell phones. Look, Father brought his. Ah, it's right here. Go ahead and take out your cell phones. This isn't just me talking. This is, do it. Action. I know you got them with you. Maybe you left them in the car. That's all right. What I'm going to give you is something that I want to help you to do because I don't want you to be disconnected over the summer. Take out your phones. Go to your App Store. Go to your Google Play Store, whatever it is that you get your applications from. And type in there, Mass Times. Pretty simple, right? Mass Times. You want to know when Mass is? You want to know where Mass is? Mass Times. Just click it. It's going to look something like that. And when you do so, yeah, my phone is turned off, so it's not going to work properly. But if you hit that little button there, it's going to know your location and be able to tell you exactly where in 50, 80 miles or something like that, where you can find the nearest Catholic churches. Just scroll through them all. In fact, if you want to, you can even sort by day or time. You can say, hey, I'm looking for a Mass on Saturday, or I'm looking for a Mass on Sunday, or maybe a daily Mass. I'm looking for confessions. I want to sort by that for on whatever day it is that I want to go to confession. And if you just click that, and search, you're going to be able to find by city, by state, by zip code, wherever, where those Masses are. You say, I want to make the earliest Mass possible. I'll go to that Mass, and then I'll run off on my trip. So you search for that. Find that 7 o'clock Mass on a Sunday morning. Or maybe you know you're going to be running late. Where's that 7 p.m. Mass that you're going to be able to catch as a last chance Mass? Or maybe on Saturday, where's that 4 o'clock Mass? Or any time in between, you're going to be able to find it. Easy, right? Guess what I just did right there? I just eliminated all of your excuses. You're going to be able to, for the rest of your life, always be able to find Catholic Mass, to stay connected. So when you come and you say, Father, I'm sorry I missed Mass. I just, I couldn't find any. I was on vacation or something like that. False. You got an app. You know, you can look it up online too if you don't have a fancy smartphone or whatever. MassTimes.org. You know, it works in over 211 countries. That's all over the world, by the way. 211 countries, you can do it and be able to find it. You can call them up to make sure that the information is accurate. You can do all those things. It's all there at your fingertips. If you just use that application, Mass Times, masstimes.org. I've used it all my life. I still use it as a priest. And in fact, there was somebody who came to Mass last night and said, Father, I'm glad you talked about that because that's why I'm here. Because I looked it up and you had your Mass times listed there, so that's why I'm here, because I use that application myself. In fact, people even used to tell me when we had Mass in Encino, Little Encino, that they'd happen in from way off in the East Coast and say, oh, how'd you find us? There was an app called Mass Times. Found out and you're on our trip. We're headed over to the West Coast. You can always find where Mass is. You can always stay connected to Christ no matter where it is throughout this summer. And see, it's a simple act like that, right? The simple act of self-sacrifice, of taking a little bit of time, a little bit of preparation that allows you to go to Mass while you're on vacation. And in doing so, that minor act of sacrifice actually is a participation in Jesus' own sacrifice, keeping us connected to the vine, connected to Him. This is what keeps us connected to Jesus, keeps us attached to the vine, which is Christ, so that we don't let our branch of who we are wither away over the course of the summer. We need that spiritual food. We need the Eucharist to be able to make it. And if you don't, it's going to prove in your life when those trials and difficulties come and you don't know what to do because you're dying. Dying on the vine. It takes a little bit of planning. It takes just a small bit of effort in our lives to stay connected. That self-giving, what it does is it's actually like us running with Christ up that mountain. And in doing so, we think we're doing something right by God, but He's the one who's filling us with His life. We're not saving God, but God is actually saving us by keeping us connected to Himself. It's the very act that begins to save our lives. So, as the summer, as you begin your trips, as you begin thinking about those places you're going to go, as you're packing your bag, maybe to go visit grandma or to do something more exotic, remember that you need to stay connected to the vine, which is Christ. Maybe your friends or family members, you're thinking, they're not so Catholic. You know, they're not living out their Catholic faith in the way that I'd like to. Oh, maybe I shouldn't offend them in some sort of way by pointing out that they don't go to Mass, so I just won't go to Mass with them. Maybe I don't want to affect their schedule because it's going to make things a little bit complicated. I want you to think about something. Remember that if you think that you don't want to embarrass others, if you think that maybe something that it is that's so important to you, keeping your Catholic faith alive, is going to embarrass somebody else, then maybe you need to reconsider your relationships. Maybe those are people that you shouldn't be associating with because they're stealing life from you. Life that you need to make it. It's a small thing, isn't it? It's a small thing to be able to do. Ask God for the boldness, for the courage to say, hey, guys, I'll see you later. I'm going to Mass. Or maybe even to say, hey, you want to come with me? When I'm on the way back, for the rest of you guys, I'll pick up donuts so that you're set for lunch or breakfast or whatever. To do something simple as that to make it easy. It's a simple thing, a small little thing in our journey of following Jesus Christ. But it's a part of that central message of our Christian life, of our Christian story, which is self-sacrifice. And in the process of that self-gift, just like with the cross, it takes a little bit of us, but it promises resurrection and life if we stay connected to Christ. What does he say? He says within the scriptures today, he says, I'm the vine, y'all are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him is going to bear much fruit, because without me, you can't do nothing at all. Anyone who does not remain in me, they're going to wither. So this summer, as you go about your life, your vacations, or whatever you do, stay connected to Christ. Don't wither off the vine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.